Today marks 1 year since Nicaraguans took to the streets to protest Social Security cuts. The demonstrations ballooned into calls for the country's president, Daniel Ortega, to step down. He responded with a violent crackdown. Hundreds have been killed and 80,000 have fled the country. Earlier this week, the president released more than 600 political prisoners to house arrest in attempt to keep his hold on power. But opposition leaders are not satisfied and have called for more demonstrations. For more on the situation in Nicaragua, we turn to New Yorker staff writer John Lee Anderson, who has reported on the government crackdown. Welcome back to The Takeaway, John Lee.
Thanks, Tanzina. It's great to be back.
So we gave a quick glimpse of what the situation is like in Nicaragua. Tell us more about the situation on the ground.
Well, it's tense and, you know, it's settled into this sort of ongoing continuum where Ortega, who's a very canny and crafty political operator, alternately turns on the spigot and turns it off. He's released these prisoners, as you point out, many of them held since the repression a year ago when he really unleashed fists of fury against the opposition there following his attempt to hike Social Security costs to the people. And in the year since then, there's been a waxing and waning, mostly repressive, tight-fisted. And then in recent months, he agreed to negotiate again. They've kind of dragged on. At the last minute, with this anniversary coming up yesterday, he did release most, but not all, political prisoners. And you have a situation where the civic opposition, which is made up of quite a wide range of people, from students to professionals to the Catholic bishops. And you know, it's a very religious country. They were also affected in some of the repression. Some of their churches got shut up. You know, there's a feeling that Ortega is just going to do rope-a-dope as long as it takes so he can stay in power. One of the preconditions for these recent talks was by the opposition was that the government agreed to hold early elections. It's been a kind of a standard call by them since last year, and he has always refused. He refused again. He's determined to see out his term in 2021.
I'm speaking with New Yorker staff writer John Lee Anderson, and we're talking about the one-year anniversary of anti-government protests in Nicaragua. John Lee, Ortega, as we mentioned, has released some of the prisoners who had been taken in for protesting and saying he would allow for free speech. But how are Nicaraguans responding? Because it feels like, as you mentioned, he gives with one hand and takes away with the other.
Well, these are people that in some cases were arbitrarily arrested and thrown in and kept in prison for all this time and now been told to go home and be quiet. So that's hardly a release of political prisoners, is it? And at the same time, you know, beginning in December, a number of the last remaining independent media outlets were closed down forcibly, and their journalists and editors, some cases people I know very well, were forced into exile. One of them, Confidencial, run by the former president's son, Carlos Fernando Chamorro, has had to move to Costa Rica, along with 60 or 70,000 other Nicaraguans who've had to flee and continue to flee, worried about being picked up, beaten up, robbed, raped, and in some cases murdered by the security forces. It's all very low level. You know, the thing about Nicaragua, Ortega gets away with this because he's sort of the least important of what John Bolton calls the troika of tyranny, or in his speech yesterday, he called the three stooges of socialism, which is the sort of comic book way to describe these ostensibly left-leaning governments. I'm talking about Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. Ortega has ceased to be really, few would describe him as a socialist or has been one for many, many years, if he ever was one. In order to get back into power in 2006, he cut deals with the country's arch-conservative private business sector and its Catholic archbishop, who at once upon a time had colluded with the CIA to oust him as president in the 1980s. He's done anything and everything possible in order to get back into power and maintain it. And he seems to have no ideology other than that, actually. And even those on the left have had their dreams of a kind of social democratic future hijacked by this man who's turned out to be really the Stalin of the Sandinista Revolution, the last man standing, you know.
And John Lee, we know that more protests are planned for this week. How is the international community, including the United States? You mentioned John Bolton's talking about the remarks about the three stooges of socialism that include Ortega here in Nicaragua. So what has been our response so far to the crackdown on protesters?
I mean, there's been speeches. Both Secretary Pompeo and NSC Director Bolton yesterday announced a series of punishments for these three regimes. And in the case of Nicaragua, there were sanctions applied to a financial services provider that is believed to funnel funds to the regime. And also they placed one of the sons of the Ortegas, they have eight children, under sanctions. He's believed to be preened for succession. You have to remember, this is a co-presidency. It's both Ortega and his wife. She is also the vice president and the spokesman. So they're an unusual power construct. So they've now been served notice by the Trump administration that it's gunning for them. And so a series of financial sanctions have been applied to top people in the regime. The OAS and the European Union seem to be gearing up for adding people on the sanctions, their own sanctions list that might be responsible for human rights abuses. Other than that, it's mostly rhetoric and expressed intention to see the end of them. But it's my interpretation based on, again, the rhetoric coming from Bolton and Rubio and people like that in the Trump administration that Nicaragua is not the most important of the three. The apple in their the ultimate object of their desire is to see the end of Cuba. Venezuela is the most immediate low-hanging fruit because it's hemorrhaging, as we know, the people, the crisis there. And Nicaragua is a very small country with 6 million people, in which half of them earn less than a dollar a day. It's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere after Haiti. By and large, its refugees, the people fleeing, are not fleeing north, they're fleeing south to Costa Rica. The Nicaraguans don't have the kind of lobby in the United States that the Venezuelans or the Cubans do, but it's there. So I think what we will see is more of the same. Other than that, it's really Ortega's game still for as long as he wants it.
John Lee Anderson is a staff writer for The New Yorker. John Lee, thanks for joining The Takeaway again.
Thanks, Tanzina. Anytime.